Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
And welcome to the program today. I'm Ed Vitagliano, sitting in for Tim Wildman, and I am joined in studio by a host, a veritable host of qualified individuals. We have Abe Hamilton, who's public policy analyst and assistant counsel for AFA. Abe, good morning.
I'm assistant counsel still.
Oh, did I? Oh,
he's general
counsel. This was a cut and paste job onto my general counsel. Well, there's at least one person in here who's not qualified. Apparently, that's me.
No.
Walker Wildman, who's assistant to the president. You are still assistant to the president?
I am. That's what I know, at least. But at least yesterday, I totally forgot what I was going to say. And so at least Ed remembered what he was going to say. Yesterday, I had a thought, and I started talking, and then I just said, you know what, Ed, I forgot what I was going to say live on air.
And you know what? I had forgotten about that, but thanks for bringing that back to my attention.
Oh, no problem. No problem.
Because we can mention it again later on in the program. And then Fred Jackson, News Director for American Family News and One News Now. Fred, welcome to the program.
Well, it sure is good to be with you all again. And you got the title right, so congratulations.
Yeah, I did the first 5 minutes of the show and got the titles almost all correct. All right, listen, Fred, I'm weary. It's Wednesday. I'm tired. It's news exhaustion. There is so much going on.
There is. And we are here, we five men in the studio, we are here to celebrate a day without a woman.
I don't know about you, but I don't celebrate that. But some people are.
Oh, some people are. And if you've been listening to the news this morning, across the nation, apparently, thousands of women have left their jobs today to celebrate a day without a woman. In fact, in at least three jurisdictions across the country, North Carolina, Virginia, and I believe in New York, they've shut down the schools because, as we know, you know, many, many teaching positions across the country, the teachers are female.
Right.
And so they are out kind of, in a way, protesting what they believe are the persecution against women.
That must have started within the last, what, month?
Since January 20th, apparently.
Yes.
Well, and Abe, you're raising the point to be made, I think, today, is, as far as I know, women in the workforce have not been told their salaries are going down, their wages are going down since Donald Trump became president. They're not being told that they can't have maternity leave since Donald Trump became president. They're not being told that they're being demoted on the job since Donald Trump became president. And so I guess my question is, what exactly are you protesting that you didn't protest during the 8 years that Barack Obama was president of the United States? Like I say—
Because their circumstances haven't changed.
That's the point. So what are you protesting that you did not protest during the Barack Obama presidency? Mm-hmm. And that's what I see as the great hypocrisy in this. In fact, just so you know, I'm not the only one. From Concerned Women of America has criticized the event as misguided and unrepresentative. Now, listen what they put out this morning. Concerned Women for America, a very conservative group, representing conservative women across the country. Here's what they put out in a statement today with regards to this protest that's going on around the nation. Quote, the U.S. has the highest proportion of women in senior management positions, 43% of any country in the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Women comprise 47% of the U.S. labor force. The U.S. was ranked 8th globally in gender equality by the World Economic Forum. 24% of working American women are in professional fields, compared to only 16% of working American men. 46% of American firms are owned or co-owned by women. The group also said the glass ceiling was more a perception than a reality. So there you have it. There's the reality of how well women are doing in our workforce. We're not aware of any, certainly, legislation that is biased against women in this country. No, this is all about an anti-Trump. In fact, the organizers of today's event, are you ready for this? Amongst the supporting groups are number one, Planned Parenthood, number two, MoveOn.org, all right, and Amnesty International.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the
groups.
Those
are all extremely left-wing organizations.
Extremely left-wing. So there you have it. This is just another opportunity from the far left. There are going to be TV cameras out there today talking to these women about how bad things are. But please listen to the other side of the story. In fact, this morning on American Family News, we're monitoring an interview that was done on Fox News. And in particular, the protest is against those teachers who are leaving their jobs today. Many of these teachers who are leaving their jobs today are the same ones who complained about not enough instruction time. They are the same ones who like to complain that, you know, we need to be in the classroom, we need to be helping those students that are having difficulty with reading and mathematics. Well, we heard today in this interview from Fox News this morning, and I just, the woman who was interviewed is Amber Northern, and she's Senior Vice President of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute and a former teacher. She in particular is outraged that these teachers are leaving their jobs today to the extent that some jurisdictions have actually canceled classes for the day.
This is the key issue, right? This is putting adult interest over children's interest. I mean, anyone knows if you're in education, the thing that you want to do is maximize instructional time. This is very important for children. Districts and schools all over the country spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to do this. Do we add time to the morning, to the afternoon? Can we have kids go to school year-round? Because we know that every minute in the classroom counts. So when we give them a day off, I mean, this matters a great deal, and especially for the disadvantaged children who need that time in school. Protest on your own time, not on the kids' time. Protest before work, after work. Protest in your summer break if you're a teacher.
Well, you know, this is it's clearly this is a left-wing protest. As Fred pointed out, this is not something that went on during the Obama administration. It is all of a sudden when Trump became elected. It was shocking to a lot of left-wing people. And I have to admit, after the election, when I started seeing some of these protests and some of these cities and communities, I thought this thing would burn itself out pretty quickly. But it has become apparent that the left wing in this country is so rabidly against Trump specifically, and in general against the conservative agenda, that this is going to be our lives for the next 4 years. And this rather contrived occasion is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, and if you will, let me, this is, I think you rightly describe it as nothing more than an anti-Trump scenario, because there is nothing different today about the condition of women in America than it was prior to President Trump's inauguration. So what is this really about? Let's go all the way back. If you can recall, during one of the final presidential debates, when the question was asked to Donald Trump, when everybody thought Hillary Clinton was going to win, by the way,
right,
whether or not he would accept the results of the election. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And when he said, well, you know, I'll see to make sure they're legit, the world in the national media went berserk. And Hillary Clinton went as far as to say that his comment is dangerous and threatens the American, she called it a democracy, but it's a constitutional republic.
Right.
And threatened the American Union is what she said concerning those comments. Hmm. And the media pounced on that, you know, like white on rice.
Yeah.
Following that, ever since then, once President Trump got elected, everything that has been done, I would submit, has been a calculated attempt to undermine the presidency. The call for voting recounts, They knew that President Trump won fair and square, mm-hmm. but they wanted to cast this air of illegitimacy. The push for the electoral vote recounts. I said on this show, this is much ado about nothing. It's mm-hmm. not possible for them to accomplish these tasks. And they knew that, but they did it anyway to build these things. The whole thing with the Attorney General Mike Flynn, the stuff happening with Jeff Sessions now, all of these things are death by a thousand cuts to continue to advance this notion that the president is an illegitimate president and to build steam toward delegitimizing him before the country. And the Women's Day March was one effort. This is another effort along that same line to say, listen, we need the national opinion about President Trump to be one that he's anti-American, he's anti-women, he's anti-everything that is American, mm-hmm. so that the American people can have antipathy for him and to drive his approval ratings down.
What these folks just need to say is, we just don't like the president, and we don't like his policies, period. Thus, we're going to protest, and we're going to protest whenever we see fit. But instead, they try to base their protest off of these false narratives that somehow women are treated more poorly now than they were 6 months ago when President Obama was in office. But I would argue that women are treated better in our country now than they've ever been in the history of our country, and we treat women way better in this country than they're treated overseas in the Middle East. I mean, women can't even drive, get a driver's license in the Middle East and some of these countries, but somehow the women who are in North Carolina, Virginia, New York, who have jobs, well-paying jobs in these schools, are somehow mistreated. But like you said, Fred, this is there's no there, and that's what you're seeing with a lot of these issues.
And I find it ironic that the Democrats have just chosen as the deputy chairman of the DNC, a man by the name of Keith Ellison, who said women have no place on college campuses because they belong in the kitchen.
He's Muslim.
Yes.
Yeah. Keith Ellison.
Yeah. Yes.
But they don't protest that.
But there's no protest about that. In fact, let's rally to make him head of the DNC, or if not the head, the deputy head of the DNC.
Right. Because he was in the running. For
everybody expected him to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let me add one more bit of bizarre, I know bizarrity is not a word, but I'm making it up because this is bizarre. Now, this is, I was reading this morning, this is Karen Anderson, a writer for Crisis Magazine. She was talking about this Day Without Women, and she was talking about all the other things you mentioned, Fred, the Planned Parenthood tie and all these other things that they're protesting. She says, also in this mix is these women on the Day Without Women. They're also protesting how transgendered people are being treated. Now, this is what Karen Anderson said. And this is pretty funny. It's pretty insightful, too. She says, I do wonder how in the world transgenderism became the new thing that women are supposed to be concerned about in addition to the rest of that improbable lineup talking about abortion and so on. Are women supposed to be supporting women who don't want to be women or only men who want to be women? Do the men get their own day to not show up at work to support the women who want to be men? Did anyone actually think this through, or are they just throwing in the kitchen sink? So this is part of the absolute confusion of the left when they support these kinds of. But first of all, we're talking about the fact that women are not being more poorly treated under Trump than they were 6 months ago under President Obama. But then when the left departs from reality, and in this case we're talking gender, it just confuses everything because you do wonder, why is a Day Without Women including the transgender cause when you're talking about at least some women who don't want to be women anymore?
Yeah.
They want to be men. And then what about the men who want to be women? Can they stay home from work today because they self-identify as women? I mean, it makes the whole Target boycott bathroom thing look like something that is easily solved. This is confusion, Fred, on a vast scale.
And, you know, let's be clear once again. It may seem obvious, but I think we need reminders. When we're talking about a day without a woman, this is organized by the left women, the liberal women.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The left women despise conservative women. Kellyanne Conway has been persecuted. Did you see there was a great media kerfuffle over the picture that was taken of Kellyanne Conway in the Oval Office, and she had her legs curled up underneath her. She was comfortable.
On one of the couches.
One of the, I think the leader of the Black Caucus.
Cedric Richmond.
made reference as it being kind of like a Monica Lewinsky moment. You know, and I'm not going to go any further.
It was a very crude comment about Kellyanne Conway.
And if you heard the audience, which was a largely liberal audience, they all went,
Oh.
When he made those comments.
But he felt comfortable doing it because she's a conservative woman.
That's right.
And this goes on and on. Conservative women are treated like dirt. Their liberal counterparts could care less.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because this is all this is all about ideology. Mm-hmm. We need to make this clear.
Yeah.
But we need to continue to remind our listeners. This is all about ideology. That's why Ben Carson, who's a black conservative, is vilified by the left. This is why Kellyanne Conway is vilified. She's a conservative woman, is vilified by the left, because this is not really identity politics. Mm-hmm. Okay, identity politics says we women need to stick together because we're mistreated. It's not really that. It is ideology.
Yeah.
And that's why those on the other side of the ideological barrier line are mistreated by the left, because it's not really about your identity. It's about what you believe. And that's what the war in this country is over.
And I think we can take it a step further. Amongst those conservative women that are despised by women on the left, Christian women in that group are even despised even more because of the value system. But it goes to your point, it's the ideology. And, of course, helped along by this, there's a press release just out this morning, the mainstream media. Folks, you got to listen to this. I know, you know, Ed, we've been doing programs now for 20 years on this, but we got to keep reminding people where you get your news, folks, really matters. It really, really does matter. It's why Brother Don Wildman started a radio network 25 years ago, why he started a news service 20 years ago, because your granddad Walker just saw that you weren't going to get the message out there through the mainstream media. Now listen to this. This is fresh off the press this morning, just a few minutes ago. After 8 years in witness protection during the Obama presidency, I'm reading from their press release from the Media Research Center here. After 8 years in witness protection during the Obama presidency, the media have come out guns blazing, trying to undermine President Trump at every turn. A recent MRC study showed that in the first 30 days of Trump's presidency, 88% of network news stories were negative. And I would go even further than this, having observed this. During the Obama administration, 90% of the media stories out there were positive. It basically was Barack Obama could do no wrong, whatever he did. Despite the fact that, you know, the shovel-ready jobs thing, what a joke that was. And then he helps out this company in California that was making, those things that absorb sunlight.
It was a solar panel.
Gave that company $500 million of your taxpayers' dollars, and it went belly up within weeks.
Oh, you mean they didn't succeed? This company didn't succeed?
Did not succeed.
Let me be clear.
Went bankrupt.
You know, so this is the kind
cash
of thing.
Cash for clunkers. It goes on and on and on.
It just doesn't stop. Media Research is repeating what we have been saying for years. Folks, you cannot trust. 90% of the journalists out there in mainstream media vote Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not us saying that.
Right.
That's been Pew Research has done this.
They admitted when surveyed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we talk about how they give to Democrat candidates as well.
Right.
What was it? Well, I'm going to spin off from what you just said. It was stated by someone the other day in talking about the Justice Department. 90% of the political donations of people who work for the Justice Department, and these are still Obama people who work there, 90% of their political donations go to the Democratic Party. Do you understand, folks, the impact that this has? Mm-hmm. You have the vast majority of mainstream media journalists are all Democratic Party supporters. The majority of people working in the Justice Department now are all Democratic Party supporters. That's where they put their money.
Mm-hmm.
Is it any wonder why you may sometimes scratch your head and say, what is going on? We're under this constant attack as Christians, as conservatives in this country. That is why.
Well, I remember talking to Brother Don years ago, and I've been here excuse me, 21 years. But I remember talking to him about doing media appearances because early on I did a lot of media interviews. And he said, yeah, we'll do some. He said, but I've basically stopped doing media interviews, he said, because I can never get my message out. Mm-hmm. It's edited. He had experiences on talk shows or on interviews where his mic would suddenly go out, or he couldn't hear what his opponent on the interview in a debate was saying when it was on radio, for example. And that's why he told me, he said, that's why I started American Family News. That's why I started the radio network. He already had the journal. That's why One News Now exists. All this exists because Brother Don understood that you cannot trust the media to report your view accurately. They're not going to behave in a fair fashion towards you. And so, you know, Abe, to a large extent, this is the reason for the success of Fox News.
Yeah.
This is the reason for so talk many radio. Websites, talk, you know, talk radio, so many websites now that get out what they believe is the truth from their perspective. You just couldn't trust. Back when we had three networks,
yeah.
It might have been a little bit before your time.
Mm-hmm.
That was all. That's all there was.
Yeah, and I think what you're saying has been underscored recently by what some would say was a slip-up, I would say a Freudian slip, by Mika Brzezinski on MSNBC. I don't know if you guys heard this.
I did hear it.
When she was caught, and she said this and had the opportunity to correct it and double down on it, said that part of the reason why she objected to Donald Trump's controlling media narratives is because she said that's our job.
Yep.
It's our job to tell the American people what to think and to control the messaging is what she
actually said.
She actually said on the air to tell the people what to think and to control the messaging. Those are terms that are used by public relations firms. That's not used by journalists. And the facts are the mainstream media, the national media, has been controlling what people think and attempting to shape the narrative. And the rise of the Fox News and the talk radio, conservative talk radio, and all of these things was because the American people realized, wait a minute, there's a different view on these issues. Right. We want to hear that. And when you hold up the ideas, comparing them apples to apples, oranges to oranges, you realize, not this progressive junk, that stuff doesn't add up. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as free health care. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as free education. Somebody has to pay for that. So I'm not going to buy into this shaping of my mind and telling me what to think and buying into what's being purported as news, but it's really secular progressive messaging.
And, you know, Walker, how this whole game works, I was reading an article this morning, was noting how it was all, and we're going to get to the subject of the healthcare, you know, struggle within the Republican Party to get a bill, you know, so on and so forth. But this article was talking about the division within the Republican Party. This article was advising Republicans to keep Obamacare and tinker with it. And they said, because President Trump is increasingly unpopular. Now, I don't know if that's true. I doubt that it's true. This seemed like a kind of a more of a leftist kind of article.
Right.
But the fact of the matter was, if Trump is becoming more unpopular, it's because the media is beating the stuffing out of
right.
him day in and day out.
Yeah, you can't hardly read an article from a mainstream news outlet that they add these adjectives or these verbs, these adjectives that they describe what they want you to see from their article.
Yeah.
And so they use these loaded words like failing, increasingly unpopular, instead of presenting the facts and then letting the reader determine the outcome.
Well, when we come back, folks, you're listening, by the way, to Today's Issues. It is Wednesday, March 8th, and there is hardly anything going on. When we come back, we're going to twiddle our thumbs for a little while. No, we're going to get back into the meat of what's happening, and we're going to tell you what's going on from a Christian perspective. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're on to more.
On the next Today's Issues, our guest will be Preston Condra of Watchman Fellowship.
This is the gospel by which you are saved, that Jesus died for your sins, that he was buried, and on the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures.
Amen.
And that's all someone has to believe to be saved.
We'll also get the latest news and analysis from Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Whoa, we have not had a response like this before. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We've been doing these spiritual heritage tours for like 20 years. We're sold out for June already, if you can believe that. We've got space left on our September tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and then Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We call them spiritual heritage tours, and I don't know how long these September seats will last. To what do you attribute that to, someone might ask? Maybe it's the fact that we have a new person occupying the White House. Maybe that has something to do with it. But in any event, we welcome you to come with us on our September Spiritual Heritage Tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Those are two separate trips. You can do both, or you can do one or the other. We'd love to have you. Go to spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next.
Liberty University's in the business of training champions for Christ, the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 500 programs of study, along with an online degree program designed for thousands of active duty and military veterans. Beyond the classroom, students meet together weekly for worship and to hear from some of the nation's leading experts in the arts, politics, and business. Liberty University, committed to academic excellence with a Christian worldview.
The House Freedom Caucus could stand in the way of Speaker Paul Ryan's Obamacare Light health care plan. North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows is the chairman of the caucus, and he wants a clean repeal bill. That means Speaker Ryan will need a lot of Democrats to reach the 218 votes needed to pass. The House version fails to repeal all of the Obamacare tax increases. It also extends Obamacare Medicaid expansion for another 4 years. Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan says it's basically Obamacare in a different format, setting the stage for what could be a Republican civil war. They had 7 years to come up with a replacement plan, and this is what they came up with? The Republican health care plan looks like a high school kid who did his homework assignment just before the start of class. 7 years! If they can't repeal, maybe Congress should be replaced. I'm Todd Stearns.
Brian Fisher here. The battle against the GOP establishment's version of Obamacare, which I call Swamp Care, is heating up. We'll have a former Muslim on as a guest who supports President Trump's travel ban 100%. And a Democrat is now clamoring for Mexico to pay for the border wall. On Focal Point today at 105 Central.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano, Abe Hamilton, Walker Wildman, Fred Jackson. We're all up in here together. And we are on the same side. We're on your side, folks. I've always wanted to kind of be a cheerleader. We're on your side. You know, I'm just thinking, when you've been in the ministry like I have, it's almost a truism that Bible teachers, I've always been more of a Bible teacher, always want to be preachers, you know, the kind that just, you know, just shout from the rooftops. And preachers always want to be Bible teachers. And I was just sitting here thinking, I'd like to be one of those sometimes a little ranting and raving on the radio, one of those talk show hosts, but I just can't bring myself to do it. It's just never, you know.
I'll do it for you.
Like a conservative Keith Olbermann?
Yes, something like that. You know, just shout at the radio, but it's embarrassing when Keith Olbermann does it. It would be twice as embarrassing, I'm sure, if I did it. So anyway, folks, welcome to Today's Issues, where we are discussing what's happening in the news from a Christian perspective. I mean, there's just tons of stuff. We won't even get to the threat from North Korea. Have you guys been reading about this? You know, North Korea is on the verge of developing an intercontinental ballistic missile with the possibility of hitting Hawaii. And I mean, it's just it is just madness in the world today, and we've got a little bit of madness going on in our own country. Fred, what's the latest on healthcare? I thought that when Donald Trump became elected president, and we had a Republican majority in the House and a Republican majority in the Senate, this repeal and replace of Obamacare was just about a done deal. Mm-hmm. The Republicans, when President Obama was in office, you know, passed resolutions.
Six of them.
Repealing. Our full intent is to repeal Obamacare. President Trump said, or candidate Trump said, my first day in office, we're going to do this and that, and Obamacare's as good as gone. Mm-hmm. But is this a zombie movie or what? That we just can't kill this thing.
Well, here is what's happening, and kind of put a title page out there. The Democrats, when they have differences, stay behind closed doors. The Republicans, when they have differences among themselves, get out there with a microphone and get the biggest speakers possible, and everybody has to have their say. I was sitting in my office yesterday afternoon, and we monitor Fox News all the time. And instead of the regular programming on Fox News, it was an endless string of news conferences by Republicans having their 2 cents worth on what they think of what's the House is calling the House version of the revision or the replacement for Obamacare. They're calling it the American Health Care Act. So yesterday you had House Speaker Paul Ryan. He's an advocate for this package. And the American Health Care Act, as it stands today, amongst other things, it keeps some portions of Obamacare, such as if you got kids up to the age of 26, they stay with you. If you've got some pre-existing serious health problems, you're still going to be able to get insurance. But now the differences come, and one of the big things being opposed by the so-called Freedom Caucus of the Republican Party, these are people like Congressman Jim Jordan, people like Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky and others.
These would be Tea Party-type conservatives,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. They say the House version, the American Health Care Act, doesn't do it for them at all. First of all, it really doesn't, at this point, repeal Obamacare. They're calling it Obamacare 2.0. That's what some of them are calling it. Some are calling it Obamacare Lite.
Yeah.
One of the things, one of the big, big sticking points at this point is that the American Health Care Act, the House version that was put out there yesterday, it says it does away with subsidies for people to buy health insurance. Instead, they say we're going to give people tax credits. That is not a tax deduction. I think we were trying to point out this yesterday. A tax credit, by any other name, is still a subsidy. That's what it is. A tax credit, basically, if you're in a certain income level, the government writes you a check. This is not a refund on taxes that you paid. The government just writes you a check. And the Tea Partiers, the Freedom Caucus, whatever you want to call them, are saying, wait a minute, don't try to pull the wool over the American people's eyes. You're still providing subsidies for people to buy health insurance. They're also saying it's more maintaining the status quo than anything else. They haven't addressed the issue in this version of the bill so far, for instance, about getting rid of state line restrictions on where you can buy insurance, that kind of thing. Along comes certain Republican governors like John Kasich. He is, they're saying that they're gradually supposed to reduce Medicaid levels out there. In reality, what they want to do is give the states more say in all of this. The Medicaid formula right now is continuing to throw money, good money after bad, because it's based on the needs of a particular state. In other words, if you've got a lot of people in your state that are below the poverty level. You've got a lot of people in your state that have a lot of illegal population, people in the country illegally. Then your Medicaid costs are going up like crazy.
Right.
So it doesn't deal with that kind of thing. So yesterday we had President Trump saying, you know, this, he's coming out, he's praising what the House has done, but he did say that this is a starting point. Health and Human Services Secretary, Dr. Tom Price, called it, he was up for about an hour and 15 minutes yesterday before they got into the daily press briefing, and saying this is a starting point. All right, so you've got the American Health Care Act. Paul Ryan thinks it's great. You've got the Freedom Caucus out here saying, wait a minute, no, this is not great at all. What Senator Rand Paul was saying yesterday, we need to do two things. First of all, we need to pass a bill in the House, have President Trump sign it, just saying we're repealing Obamacare.
Clean repeal.
Clean repeal. And then we'll bring forward these. Rand Paul has a plan. There are some others that have a plan in there. Then we want to do that. But we, this is the point that Congressman Jim Jordan, Senator Rand Paul were making yesterday in their news conference. We promised the American people we would repeal Obamacare. They are saying the House version, the American Health Care Act, does not do that. And that's where we are today. Now, what's happening today on Capitol Hill is our various committees that are meeting. The House Ways and Means Committee, the Energy and Commerce Committee, they are all meeting to begin what they call marking up this bill. And that is addressing concerns on either side. So I think an overall assessment at this moment is that you're going to see modifications made, but there are going to be some people, probably like Senator Rand Paul, Jim Jordan, and others, who are saying, no, got to have the repeal first. So you've got this debate going on very publicly right now in the midst of the Republican Party as to what to do with Obamacare.
Well, now let's unpack this a little bit. Walker, this morning in our news meeting preparing for this program, you mentioned an article, so I went back and read it, that it was on Drudge, the place was The Week. I'm not sure what that is, if it's connected to the Weekly Standard or what. But it's very interesting. They were asking the question, and I want you to kind of address it because you explained it some in our meeting. Is Paul Ryan's thumbs up for this bill actually a way of subverting it because he really doesn't want to repeal the Obamacare? Why don't you explain with that?
This is a possibility. I wouldn't say it's a conspiracy. I think it's a high possibility. But what you have here is insurance companies lobby on Capitol Hill. There's a lot of money that goes into insurance companies who then in turn give donations to politicians. So it's not as if everyone up there on Capitol Hill is objective. Paul Ryan, this plan that they presented is not what conservatives campaigned on, and specifically Paul Ryan campaigned on during the election season. President Trump, this is President Trump's plan. If you remember, he said we want to keep the 26 age requirement, and we would like to keep pre-existing conditions. And so this is, I mean, Trump said this is what I want. And so it's not Trump that's being deceitful here. It is the Republican leadership who said we will completely repeal Obamacare and then we will replace it with something else. This is not what this is. This is Obamacare tweaked, taking some things out and then keeping some things. And I think what's frustrating is that I think Paul Ryan knew how controversial this bill was going to be, but yet he still proposed it. But I think if you keep parts of Obamacare, then you're not being honest. You weren't being honest during the campaign. If you wanted to keep some of Obamacare, some of the deals with Obamacare, then you should have said it. You should have said, we want to repair Obamacare instead of replace it, because this is not replacing it.
Well, this is what's so frustrating, Abe, for the average voter out here. Now, I'm speaking from a conservative's standpoint. What's so frustrating is exactly what Walker pointed out. I have a hard time, it's like nailing Jell-O to a wall, listening to conservatives who run for office who say, we're going to repeal Obamacare. And then when push comes to shove, and not even push comes to shove, because they have a majority, when they get the opportunity it becomes clear that in the back of their minds, here we're going, there's no way we're going to be able to repeal Obamacare. The media won't let us get away with it. The Democrats are going to filibuster in the Senate. So we're just going to have to get what we can. And I will give props to President Obama to this extent. He knew when Obamacare was passed, and remember, without a single Republican. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to hear Democrats even talk about what the Republicans are doing right now. Mm-hmm. They have no right to enter into the conversation. They were fine with Obamacare being passed without a single Republican back in 2009. They should understand Republicans are going to do the same thing, although whether they have the spine to do it or not, is we'll have to wait to see. But President Obama understood once you pass a massive entitlement, it is extremely difficult to root it up and toss it in the trash can.
Yeah.
He at least understood that.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the things that led to the Trump train is because the American people were sick and tired of politicians on both sides of the aisle, but especially Republicans, saying one thing but getting to Washington and doing another. And there are lots of skeptics. I talked to them, I'm pretty sure many of you have, that said, listen, I know they're saying they're going to repeal Obamacare, but there's no way when you have that much money put into the government coffers from the individual mandates that you're going to find elected officials that have the principle and that have, you know, the spine to go along with the principle to say, you know what, we need to relinquish control over this brand new entitlement. And I think that's what you're seeing shaking out, because this is how, underscores the distinction between politicians and statesmen. Politicians take a poll to see what's popular, see which way the winds are blowing, and then they run to get in front of that line, as opposed to the statesmen who take a stance regardless if they think it's popular or not, because they know it's the right thing to do. And what you have here is some of the Republicans who are saying, well, you know, there's some people, a lot of people like parts of Obamacare, so we don't want to be the oogity-boogity bad guy. We want to show them we like to play nice across the aisle, and we'll just, you know, let's leave portions of Obamacare in place. And these are the things that drive the American people crazy.
One thing I will say real quick is that I do disagree with Representative Jordan and the other conservatives in the House that we need to vote on repeal and then later vote on replace, because what you have to realize is the bill, the American Health Care Act that's just been presented yesterday, that only needs 51 votes. If you pass a simple repeal, that's going to need 60 votes because of the rules. I'm talking about in the Senate, that is. And so you can't – whatever they do, they need to do it with this American Health Care Act, because that all that needs is a simple majority because of the reconciliation rules. And so I think they need to tweak – they need to fix whatever they have, whatever this bill is. They need to fix it to meet everyone's needs, or for the most part, and then pass that. But I don't think the repeal – The problem with repealing and then at a later date replacing is you have a gap there of people that will be uninsured, and whether it's the end of the world like the media likes to present it, millions of people will be uninsured. That's what they're going to present it as. And so I think you need to repeal and replace in the same bill, and they can do that with this one, and all you need is a simple majority.
Well, and Fred, to your point earlier when you introduced this subject, Republicans air their dirty laundry in public. It seems to me, because this is, this is an incredibly complex issue. You're talking about, now, Obamacare was collapsing under its own weight.
Yep.
I mean, that seems to have gotten lost into the discussion. The media is certainly not going to point that out. It was collapsing. There were, you know, state exchanges that just had one insurance company willing to cover under Obamacare. You had growing numbers of doctors who said, we're not taking Obamacare, you know, because of all the regulations and all the red tape. So this is it's an incredibly complex issue. It automatically tugs on the heartstrings. Anybody who's been involved in the healthcare system in this country for any length of time understands how expensive it is, how hard it is to get insurance companies to cover, all those kinds of things. Everyone's had those experiences. So when you come out of the chute and say, well, 20 million people are going to be out of you're not going to have health insurance for the next 6 months while we hammer out a plan. Man, you get a lot of people who go, I'm not for that. So it seems to me what Republicans should have done is it got all these groups together, the Freedom Caucus and the this side and that side, you know, the repeal and replace or the just tinker with it, that all those together behind closed doors,
yeah.
Try to actually fix the problems and then come out and present it. But that's not what we've got.
No, as I was saying, that's what the Democrats do.
Right.
In fact, you know, to be honest, Obamacare, for the most part, had been written by people like Tom Daschle. There's a name from the past.
Right.
Long before Barack Obama actually—
North Dakota, South Dakota?
I forget which
Dakota he was from.
He designed it. And I think the thing we have to remember, which is, you know, one of the reasons why we're here, American Family Radio. Listen, folks, when you hear the narrative from the other side that millions of people, and Walker just was repeating what you hear out there, when you hear millions of people now are going to be left without health insurance— lots of people have health insurance. What they don't have is health care.
Mm-hmm.
There is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a piece of paper right now, but your deductible is so high.
Right.
You got to pay the first $6,000 or $10,000. We're going to give you a premium of $100 a month, but your deductible is $6,000 to $10,000.
Right.
One of the reasons why Obamacare is collapsing is that folks out there who cheered this on— and they get the piece of paper from the insurance company, and they go to their doctor, and their doctor says, well, you owe us $500 for this visit. And they're saying, because they've never had health insurance before.
Right.
They don't understand deductibles. So the Republicans have to get out there and beat that drum, is that they're trying to deal with this. In fact, you know, what a lot of people say, we got to go back, kind of got to go back to where we were before Obamacare. More of the free enterprise system out there, more allowing competition amongst insurance companies, because we know what works, it has worked for years, is free enterprise. You have more insurance companies trying to get the business, your business. That lowers prices. That ought to be the goal. Set out those broad parameters first. The Republicans need to do this. Explain it to the American people. They're going to have to do it directly. You can't trust the mainstream media. But explain to them they're trying to fix a huge problem that Obamacare has created. That's what they're trying to do.
And it is a mess.
It is a mess.
I mean, this is a huge—
Bill Clinton said it.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton says
That's
it
right.
was a disaster.
Yeah.
He said that during the election campaign.
And I'm not
Multiple
sure.
Multiple times.
And
yeah.
I'm not sure that the plan that eventually became known as Obamacare might not even have gone back as far as Hillary Care.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, it may be a lot of the same thing. So what he was calling disaster might— actually have been, you know, part of her plan. Well, look, folks, this is ongoing. This is what people are going to be talking about. We will continue to try to wrap our minds around this, digest it a little bit, and try to show you some of the things that are happening from a good Christian perspective. But I'll have to admit, I wouldn't want to be in charge of trying to fix this, but we need people, like you said, Abe, who are statesmen and stateswomen who want to fix this. We do have some good news, though, right, Fred? I mean, we had some good economic numbers here since the Trump inauguration, and some of the economic signs are pointing in a positive direction, right?
Very positive direction. We got news this morning that in the month of February, the private sector, the U.S. private sector, added 298,000 jobs. That's about 100,000 more than what the experts were predicting for the month of February. Now, you got to remember, month of February in America, a lot of people experiencing bad weather, that sort of thing. There were a lot of construction jobs out there. That really kind of surprised me that there, amongst this increase, was a lot of construction jobs. So all of this points to an improving economy. Again, you're not going to see headlines in the mainstream media about this today because it makes Donald Trump look pretty good and what he's doing. The optimism that's out there, you've seen it in the stock market since Donald Trump was elected, even before Inauguration Day. You've seen the stock market. You've heard our own Dan Celia talk about this, the reason why it went over 20,000 in the days after Donald Trump was elected president. Because there's a newfound optimism amongst corporations out there that he's going to lift some of these regulations. What's his rule? Any regulation comes in, two have to be eliminated.
Right.
I think that's his math
yep.
yeah.
on this. He's going to reduce the corporate tax. That has to make – and, of course, the narrative that you hear from the other side is that Trump is all about making the rich richer.
Right.
That's all he cares about. You're hearing some of the same things about this new health care act that's been proposed. But the reality is people are getting jobs. People on who are getting a paycheck are not on welfare. They're not getting food stamps. So that reduces the load on the American taxpayer. And one more piece of economic news. I got to mention this. This is from The Hill this morning. The Ivanka Trump clothing line reported record sales last month. Now, you will remember Kellyanne Conway, advisor to the president, got in trouble when she announced one morning, I think it was on Fox News, that she was going out because there's been complaints about Ivanka Trump. She's there. She's too close to the president.
Oh, there were people calling for a boycott of her clothing line.
Yeah, so she announced she was going to go out and buy. Well, apparently, Kellyanne Conway can't be held responsible for the total increase in Ivanka Trump clothing line across the country. Wasn't it some big department store said they weren't going to carry it anymore?
Nordstrom.
Yeah.
Nordstrom.
TJ Maxx.
TJ Maxx and others. So despite all of this, why are we bringing this to your attention, folks? The reason is, again, you're not going to hear this in the mainstream media, but the reality is the American people, those who voted for Donald Trump, they're not being swayed by these stories in the mainstream media anymore. They're not being swayed by all the negativism out there. They understand what's going on in the grassroots of this country. We're talking everything from the New York to Los Angeles, all of those people in the middle who supported Donald Trump, they are reacting. We are seeing reaction from them in these economic numbers. Things are getting better with the economy in this country. And I think as Trump has his way with regards to making these tax deductions, tax reductions for businesses, and he's attracting more business to this country. All of those companies who say they're staying here, or they're going to open up business. This has improved. It has given optimism to corporate America, which was missing. And that's why you're seeing reflected in this in these good reports today.
Well, Abe, this is going to make or break Donald Trump's candidate. I mean, his presidency. I mean, I think that the reason that people in the Rust Belt voted for Donald Trump shocked people, Pennsylvania, right across the upper Midwest, was because of jobs. So if he pulls off good job numbers for the next 4 years, I think he's in for another 4 years.
I agree with you. I think that is going to be the ultimate metric by which he will be judged by the broad swath of the American people. And if he is able to continue what he's the trend he's been doing, I think we very well could have a President Trump for not just 4 years, 8 years. And I'll add this in. I think the Democrats know that, which is why they are fighting with everything they have to try to blur and muddy the water so the American people can't keep their eye on the ball as to what actually impacts their lives on a daily basis. So they want to keep them up in arms about all this peripheral stuff so that they can be distracted from really paying attention to what
well,
is going
it's,
on
it's better for them with these kinds of economic numbers right out of the chute.
Yeah,
it's better
amazing.
For Democrats to talk about Russians
than
Americans
Russia,
who are getting
shot.
It's the Russians that that did it. And so anyway, we'll continue to look. There are some good, encouraging numbers out just within the first couple of months of the Trump presidency as the economy appears to be shifting into a higher gear. That would be good news for the majority of Americans. Politics is going to always be about obscuring one thing and trying to highlight something else, but it seems for the time being that things are going the right direction in terms of the economy. All right, we are going to take a 5-minute break for news. That's right, we can't fit it all in the first hour. We're going to take another 5 minutes for our great news team, American Family News, to tell you some more about what's happening, and then we will return for the final half hour of today's issues.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.